Guaranteed to mash your mind. A murderous mask book read by Vienna Vance. Written by Yartan Poskett. Who ate all the pie? Illustrated by Philip Reeve. The story so far. Introduction. City, Chicago, Illinois, USA. Place, the state penitentiary. Date, December 2nd, 1929. Time, 3 o'clock a.m. The dynamite flew in through the bars of the window and rolled across the floor. "Geez!" screamed One Finger Jimmy. "She's doing it! She's getting us out!" "Grab some cover!" shouted Blade Bocelli. "That fuse ain't gonna wait!" The seven men ripped their bunks apart and seconds later were covering in a corner behind a wall of mattresses. "Move over, you guys!" said the biggest man. "My rear is still exposed." "What's your problem, Perky?" sneered the weasel. "With the size of that thing, if you sat on a fork at breakfast, you wouldn't shout ouch until dinner." "Clam up," ordered Blade, "and keep down." Each man screwed his eyes shut as the spark set its way down the fuse. "Kawee, boys," sang a voice from the door. "Sleeping tight, I hope." A large key clanged in a lock. As the door opened, a scent of heavy perfume drifted in and collided with the reek of old socks. "Dolly, Snow Lips," gasped Jimmy. "What you doing there? You're supposed to be waiting over the wall with a pickup truck." "Yeah, but that was your plan," replied the figure silhouetted in the light from the corridor. "And face it, you guys ain't too smart." "We is plenty smart enough, sister," said Chainsaw Charlie. "Oh yeah," came the reply. "Smart enough to get shot up and arrested all because not one of you seven guys could figure out a restaurant bill?" "Numbers could have figured it," said Jimmy. 7 7's 39. 7 39's 3 4 3. 7 3 4 3's 2 4 0 1. Gibbered the thin man. "He's just a machine in pants," said Dolly. "Sure, numbers can do the sums, but he don't know what sums to do." 7 2 4 0 1's. "He does what I tell him," said Blade Bocelli. "Remember, inside or out, I'm still the boss." "That's debatable," said Dolly. "Who's the one hiding in the corner in his underwear?" "Hey, that's you, boss," said half-smile Gabriani. "And who's the one who's just been in the governor's office having cocktails and bailing you out?" "We're bailed out?" gasped the mob. "You mean somebody actually paid money so that we're free to go?" said Blade. "They sure did," said Dolly. "And that's a whole lot better way of you getting out of here than explosions, sirens, and me freezing my knees off in some blacked-out truck with false plates." "How could we get bail?" said Jimmy. "We're the evilest, meanest, dirtiest dogs that ever did a dastardly deed." "Yeah, that's us," the rest all chorused. "That's why bail was $10 million, said Dolly. There was a shocked silence. "And where do these 10 fat ones come from?" asked Blade. "A friend," said Dolly. "A friend who once had paid back." "Where are we supposed to find that sort of dough?" "The Fort Knox Wages Express," said Dolly. "You're joking," gasped Blade. "Nobody knocks off the Knox Express." "I got it all figured out," said Dolly. "Wow," said Jimmy. "What a dame." "Maybe I don't like it," said Blade. "Maybe no one's asking you," said Chainsaw. "Looks like Doll's the boss now." "Good," said Dolly. "Well, what are you waiting for? Come on." She turned and set off down the corridor. One by one, the bewildered men stepped out to follow her with the big man at the rear. It was just as he was easing himself through the narrow door that he called out, "Hey, Doll, if you got us bail and you ain't waiting outside with the truck, what's the gag with chucking the dynamite?" "I didn't chuck no dynamite," replied Dolly. "Why would I chuck dynamite when I fixed bail?" "Well, somebody chucked dynamite," said Perky. Somewhere inside the package on the cell floor, the spark reached the end of its journey. Kablam! And as Blade and the gang stumble, blinking and coughing out into the street, we've just got one thing to say. Welcome to the weird world of murderous maths. Oh, yes, indeed. Getting out of jail was the easy bit. As Blade will soon find out, there is no getting away from murderous maths. It's everywhere, and it affects all of us and everything in the whole universe. But don't panic. Maths isn't just dull old sums. It's about slick tricks and gruesome games. It's about being famous forever. It's about trying to predict the future. It's about total control of everything that goes on around us. It's about time we got on with the first chapter. Deadly Doms. So there you are, popping back from the shops with a pizza when, aha, comes an evil voice. Gotcha. Suddenly you find yourself swinging 30 meters above the ground. You raise one eyebrow nonchalantly so that the eyebrow is 30.007 meters above the ground. You have a heavy sigh because this sort of thing is getting tedious. It turns out that your arch-enemy, Professor Phoenix, has just driven by in a mobile crane and grabbed you at the hook. Come with me, he sneers. This time I've got a puzzle you'll never solve. Ha ha ha. Soon you find yourself in a cell which has a skeleton chained to the wall. In front of the skeleton is a chessboard and a box of dominoes. There are 32 dominoes in the box, says the mad professor, and the chessboard has 8 squares along each side, which makes 64 squares altogether. You knew that. Each domino can cover exactly 2 squares of the chessboard, says the professor. So, can you put the 32 dominoes on the board so that every square is covered? Easy peasy. You solve the puzzle in a trice. Big deal, you say. Now let me go, my pizza's getting cold. Not so fast, sniggers the professor. I'm going to chop 2 squares off the chessboard and take away one of the dominoes. The professor takes a knife and chops away 2 squares from opposite corners of the board. The squares are both right. There are now 62 squares left and 31 dominoes, says the professor. Can you cover all the squares now? Obviously the owner of the skeleton couldn't do it, but can you? Different sorts of dominoes. Forget about the spots on dominoes, just have a think about the shape. A domino shape is made up of 2 little squares joined together. There, that was a quick think, wasn't it? We'll come back to dominoes later, but in the meantime, have another think. Suppose you only used 1 square, it wouldn't really be a domino, would it? In fact, you could call it a monomino. Using 2 squares, you get a domino. How about using 3 squares? You get a tromino, but something slightly exciting happens here. There are 2 different sorts of tromino. You can have a straight tromino where the squares are all in a line, or you can have what's called a right tromino where the squares make a little corner. With 4 squares, you can make tetrominoes, and there are 5 different types carefully drawn out here by our murderous artist, the Evil Reeve. Back in 5 minutes. Oh dear, the Reeve has just popped out for a custard sandwich, so you'll have to draw the last 2 tetrominoes in yourself. Probably best of all, with 5 squares, you can make pentominoes. There are 12 different pentominoes, and here you can see they are arranged in a neat 6x10 formation. It looks simple, doesn't it? There are lots of games to play with pentominoes, so if you want some fun, you'll need a set to play with. The best and cheapest way to get them is to copy this page onto some card and make it bigger if you can, then cut out the shapes. It's fun to make each shape a different color, too. You can sometimes buy sets of pentominoes in a games shop all nicely made out of wood, or you can also get pentominoes to play on a computer. Look out for it on discs that have lots of little games on. So there you are with 12 pentominoes. Here are some wicked challenges for you. 1. Arrange the 12 pentominoes back into a 6x10 shape like before. There are 2,339 different ways of doing this, but if you can find more than 3 or 4, then you're doing well. 2. Arrange the 12 pentominoes into a 5x12 shape. There are 1,010 ways of doing this, but it's quite tricky. 3. Arrange the 12 pentominoes into a 4x15 shape. There are 368 ways of doing this. Very tricky. 4. Arrange the 12 pentominoes into a 3x20 shape. There are only supposed to be 2 ways of doing this, and here's one of them. Can you find the other? And it doesn't count if your version is just the same as this one flipped over. 5. Pick any one of the shapes. Using 9 of the other shapes, can you make a big version of the shape you have picked? 6. Finally, here's a great game to play with a friend. You need your pentominoes in a square board, like a chess board, marked out with 64 squares that a pentomino covers 5 squares. The first player picks a pentomino from the set and puts it on the board covering any 5 squares. The other player picks another pentomino and puts it on the board, but it mustn't overlap the first pentomino. Keep taking turns until somebody can't go. Whoever puts down the last pentomino wins. A rule to break. You're not supposed to turn the pentominoes over in any of these puzzles, i.e., you're not supposed to make the shape on the left into the one on the right. However, the idea of this book is to have fun, so as it's a bit of a petty rule, you can be a mad rebellious anarchist and ignore it. You might even find more solutions to the puzzles. Enough about pentominoes. Hexominoes use 6 squares, and there are 35 different ones. Here are a few. Heptominoes use 7 squares, and there are 108 different ones, including. One heptomino is rather special. It's called the Harbor Heptomino. You can see why it gives math freaks stomach ache. It's because when they are making patterns up, they can't fill up the hole in the middle, so they end up gibbering away in corners and chewing their toes. Aren't mathematicians brilliant? Give them an equation like n means determination of the invariance of the Hubble constant. Ah! And they twinkle like snowflakes. But show them a little drawing of 7 squares in a circle and they lock themselves in the bathroom. Ah! Take it away! Mummy! Well, your pizza will be turning to rubber by now, so let's get back to Professor Fiendish's chopped chessboard puzzle. The puzzle is impossible, but he will have to let you go if you tell him why. The answer is rather slick. When you put the dominoes on the chessboard, each domino covers 2 squares next to each other. This means each domino has to cover 1 black square and 1 right square. After the professor chopped off 2 right squares, the board was left with 30 right squares and 32 black squares. When you put 30 dominoes on the board, you will have covered up 30 black and 30 right squares. This means the 2 uncovered squares both have to be black. It doesn't matter where on the board the 2 uncovered squares are, they have to be black. Obviously, there's no way you can cover 2 black squares with 1 domino. You're not allowed to break it in half. So the puzzle is impossible. Thanks to you, it's gone. So still, I'd rather eat the box. A fishy problem. In the garden at Fogsworth Manor, the Duchess was examining the pond. Ah, Croak, there you are, she said as the butler approached. I've decided to smarten up the pond for Twinkle, my little goldfish. What's wrong with it? Asked Croak. It needs some railings along the side by the path, said the Duchess. I don't want Herbert's croquet balls to roll in and frighten her. Let's measure it up. Croak held the tape at one end of the pond as the Duchess dropped down to the other. There's the Duchess. It comes to 12 meters. Go and get 12 meters of railings. In the hardware shop, the manager was fixing up a massive parcel. That's all you want, Guv? He said, 12 meters of railings? Probably not, said Croak, but that's all for now. Back in the garden, the railings were in position. Perfect, said the Duchess. Now then, the bottom of the pond looks a bit murky. I think Twinkle will like it covered in nice pink tiles. See to it, Croak. In the hardware shop. You again? Asked the manager. She wants the bottom tile now, moaned Croak. How many tiles? Asked the manager. I don't know, said Croak. It's 12 meters long. You work it out. That's no good, said the manager. I need to know how wide it is. You didn't need to know for the railings, said Croak. That's because the railings is linear, you see. That means they are in a line. Tiles is area. I need 2 measurements to work out area. 2, moaned Croak. You're lucky, mate. You've got a nice rectangular pond. If it was a wonky shape, I'd need loads of measurements. Croak didn't feel lucky at all, but went back to the Duchess. So for tiles, we need to know the length and the width, asked the Duchess. Apparently so, madam, said Croak. They got the tape out again. 5 meters wide. Back in the hardware shop. So you're saying your pond is 12 meters long by 5 meters wide, asked the manager. Yes, said Croak. Well, 12 times 5 is 60, so the bottom of your pond is 60 square meters, said the manager. Square meters, puzzled Croak. What's them? Them's area, said the manager. 1 square meter is the same as a square 1 meter along each side. Oh, goody, muttered Croak sarcastically. It takes 4 tiles to cover a square meter, so you need 60 times 4, which makes 240 tiles, said the manager. What I really need is a lorry to carry this lot, moaned Croak as the manager piled up the boxes of tiles. Eventually, the bottom of the pond was tiled. Will that be all, madam? Asked Croak. Of course not, said the Duchess. Twinkle needs a new ladder. I'll get the hose pipe, said Croak. Not likely, said the Duchess. I'm not having Twinkle swimming about in common tap ladder. Go and get some posh pond ladder. Back in the hardware shop, the manager didn't so much as raise an eyebrow. Posh pond ladder? He asked. Of course we sell posh pond ladder. Very expensive, mind you. How much do you want? The pond is 12 meters long by 5 meters wide, said Croak. You work it out. That's no good, said the manager. I need to know how deep it is, too. But you didn't need to know for the tiles, said Croak. That's because tiles is area, said the manager. Ladder is volume. I need 3 measurements to work out volume. It's the same depth all over, said Croak, hopefully. There's no shallow end or anything. So, I still need to know what the depth is. Give me strength, muttered Croak, and once again set off home. As he went, the manager went to the tap in his backyard and started to fill up lots of bottles. Very carefully he wrote on each one, Posh Pond Ladder. Posh Pond Ladder indeed, smirked the manager. I'll be selling her ladyship posh air to breathe next. Back home, the Duchess was bewildered. So for ladder, we need to know the length and the width and the depth, asked the Duchess. It seems so, m'lady, said Croak. The Duchess tied a stone to the end of the tape, then dangled it down into the pond. This is all very niggling, she muttered. There, it's 1.5 meters. For the 5th time, Croak went back to the hardware shop. His feet were killing him. 12 times 5 times 1.5, said the manager. That comes to 90 cubic meters. What's a cubic meter? Asked Croak, and immediately wished he hadn't. Cubic is volume, said the manager, and a cubic meter is like a square box shape, which is 1 meter long, 1 meter wide, and 1 meter high. Oh, brilliant, said Croak. Not only do my feet hurt now, you're making my brain hurt. That's nothing, sniggered the manager. 1 cubic meter is the same as 1,000 liters, so if your pond is 90 cubic meters, that makes 90,000 liters. What's a liter? Asked Croak. That's how much pond water you get in a bottle, said the manager. Are you carrying these bottles home? I suppose so, said Croak. Oh dear, sniggered the manager, because that means you'll have to carry 90,000 of them. What? Gasped Croak. And as 1,000 liters of water weighs a ton, that's 90 tons you'll be carrying. Your arms will be hurting, too. After many, many trips from the hardware store back to the pond, the last bottle was finally tipped in. Look here, Twinkle, cooed the Duchess, clutching a rather weird goldfish in a bowl. Look what Mummy's got for her little treasure. The goldfish peered toward the pond. Well, simpered the Duchess, isn't it lovely? Twinkle yawned and turned away. Croak gave her a murderous look. He guessed what was coming next. Doesn't Twinkle like her pond? Asked the Duchess. Does she prefer her cozy little bowl? That's all right, then. Croak can fill it all in and make us a nice summer house instead. Line, area, volume, what is it all about? Why do you sometimes need more measurements than others? Look at this road. Suppose you run right along it. How far do you go? Does it depend on how long the road is? Yes, 300 meters. How wide the road is? No. How deep the road's foundations are? No. The answer only needs one number. This is called a line or a linear measurement, e.g. 300 meters. Suppose you have to paint the whole surface of the road. How much painting do you need to do? Does it depend on how long the road is? Yes, 300 meters. How wide the road is? Yes, 4 meters. How deep the road's foundations are? No. This answer needs 2 numbers, which are then usually multiplied together. This gives an area measurement. In this case, it works out to be 300 times 4 equals 1,200 square meters. Suppose you have to dig up the whole road. How much digging do you need to do? Does it depend on how long the road is? Yes. 300 meters. How wide the road is? Yes, 300 meters. How deep the road's foundations are? Yes. So we better check. The foundations are 2 meters deep. This answer needs 3 numbers, which are then usually multiplied together. This gives a volume measurement. In this case, you'd have to dig up 300 times 4 times 2, which comes to 2,400 cubic meters. Luckily, we never need more than 3 measurements because we live in a 3-dimensional world. Learning. Before reading on, fix a smoke alarm to your head. If it goes off, it means your brain is overheating. Okay, here we go. It's time to leap into the unknown and consider a question of dimensions, or who can see you stark naked even as you read this book. To explain the 3-dimensional, or 3D world for you, please welcome the fabulous Tight Soul Brothers. First of all, they are going to demonstrate life in one dimension. On this rope, we cannot get past each other. Look, no safety net. Pretty brave, huh? Not really. In one dimension, we can only stay on a line. We cannot drop off. What these guys are trying to show is that in one dimension, everything happens in a line, and if you want to move, you can move only along that line. Here's some of our accurate 1D world. Not much to it, is there? If you want to draw a 1D person in the 1D world, then get a very sharp pencil and mark a tiny dot on the line. If your person wanted to move about, they could only move along the line. They can't run across the rest of the page or jump out of the book. Peep, peep. Sorry, that was getting a bit strange, so we'll forget it and move on. Life in 2 dimensions would be a bit easier. Now we can pass. Still no safety net. Pretty brave, huh? Not really. In 2 dimensions, there's still nowhere to drop. With life in 2 dimensions, you have a flat area to move about on, but you can't float above it or sink underneath it. Mind you, this flat area doesn't have to be horizontal. It could be tipped up at any angle. Hey, stop! It's not safe! This is no funny. We still got no safety net. Whatever we do, we mustn't let go. As the brothers are kindly showing us by clinging on, it doesn't matter what angle the flat area is at. In 2D, you have to stay on it. We'll take a closer look at life in 2D in a minute, but before we do, I'll let the brothers show us life in 3D. We can move up and down and round. Still no safety net. Pretty brave, huh? No, I call it pretty stupid. In 3 dimensions, you're not stuck to the 2D flat area anymore. You can get away from it. Because we are so used to living in 3 dimensions, it is very hard to imagine anything else. But just for the fun, let's go back to thinking what 2 dimensions would be like. Life in 2D. The main thing about living in 2 dimensions is that everything would be flat. Do you know how flat you would be in a 2-dimensional world? Guess. Exactly 1 meter, 1 millimeter, the thickness of a hair, even flatter than that. If you want to know the answer, then get ready, because this takes some imagining. Suppose you were a 2D person and there was a single piece of paper lying next to you. You wouldn't be able to look over the edge of the paper because you would be so flat. This is because even paper has 3 dimensions, although one of its dimensions, the thickness, is very small. With smoother, since paper has 3 dimensions, you can put one piece on top of another. Isn't that just fantastic? Beep, beep, beep. If you are a 2D creature, this is completely incomprehensible. Even something as silly as playing leapfrog is just too freakish for words. So why can't 2-dimensional things be on top of each other? Luckily, there is one thing we all know about that is 2-dimensional, and that is a shadow. Try this. 1. Hold your hands under a strong light so they cast a shadow on the wall. 2. Move one hand behind the other so the shadows overlap. Can you tell which hand's shadow is on top of the other? Of course not, because neither is on top. With smooth art, doesn't matter if you make your shadows on the floor, or the wall, or even the ceiling. Whichever way up they are, they have only 2 dimensions. At least I understood the shadow bit. Views in different dimensions. If you were living in 1-dimension land, then you would be just a dot, but what could you see? Get a bit of card and put a pinhole in it. Look through it, but don't hold it too close to your eye. All you can see through the hole is a tiny little speck, and that's what the view in a 1D world is like. If there was nobody there, then the speck would be blank. You, what you can see. If there was somebody else living in your 1-dimension, they would look like another dot, and they would be straight in front of you because they have to be on the line, too. You, other person, what the other person looks like. Suppose there was a whole crowd of people in 1-dimension land. This is how they would look. You, the crowd. What the crowd looks like. You can't see over or around the person nearest you, so all you would see is that person. That's why going to the cinema in 1-dimension land is so frustrating. If just one person sits in front of you, they'll completely and totally block your view. Fashion-conscious people would love living in 1D land because it doesn't matter if you're fat or thin. To any other 1D person looking at you, you'll still look like this. What you look like whether you're fat or thin. Okay, it's getting strange again, so let's move on. In a 2-dimensional world, your view is rather different. To get a rough idea of what it's like, cut a long, narrow slit in some cardboard. Have a look through it. All you can see of the world is a thin line. At least that's better than in 1D when all you could see was a pinpoint. What's interesting, though, is that through the narrow slit in your cardboard, you can see the 1-dimensional world, and in fact, you have a much better view of it than a 1D person because you can see the whole crowd of 1D people at once. You can even tell which ones are fat or thin. Here's some 2D people living on this page. Peter, Jack, Tom, Anna. Peter, Jack, and Tom can all see each other because in the 2D world, they can look around to the right and left. None of them can see Anna because she is in her house, and the walls are in the way. There, that's a bit more straightforward, isn't it? There's one important thing to realize, though. Because we are 3D people, when we look at the 2D world, we can see all four of the 2D people, even Anna, who is in her house. In fact, we can see inside and outside Anna's house at the same time. Peep, 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 ding-a-ling. Inside and outside at the same time? Relax a minute. And imagine what it would be like to live in a 3D world. Well, that's where we do live, so that was easy, wasn't it? Phew. Just remember, though, a 2D person can see the whole of a 1D world. A 3D person can see the whole of a 2D world. Therefore, if there is such a thing, a 4D person can see the whole of a 3D world. 4D people. Gosh, what does a 4-dimensional person look like? You probably think a 4D person is impossible, but why should it be? A flat 2D person would be very unlikely to recognize or even see a lumpy 3D person. Remember, 2D people only have a thin line of vision, and things easily get in the way. Consequently, 2D people wouldn't even realize that 3D people like us exist. Uh-oh. Beep, beep, blip, blip, blip. Therefore, it follows that we 3D people are very unlikely to recognize or even see a 4D person. For all we know, there could be millions of them. People have tried to work out how the fourth dimension could exist, and some of them say it is time. This may sound completely batty, but it shows you how hard it is to imagine anything other than the three dimensions we are used to. Mind you, time does seem an odd sort of a dimension, because the other three, height, width, and depth, can be measured with a ruler. How can you measure time with a ruler? Unless it's a four-dimensional ruler, of course. Clang, bing, blip, wibble, wibble. Calm down, we're nearly finished. There's just one more bit to go, and we'll have some groovy optical illusion pictures, which are always good for some fun. Here's the spookiest part, as we said before. If there are such things as 4D people, then they can see the whole of our 3D world at once. In the same way that we can see the inside and outside of Anna's house, they can see the inside and outside of our houses, our rooms, and even our clothes. There could be millions of 4D people who can see you stark naked, even right now as you're reading this book. They can even see all your insides working and everything. Blah. There is one small consolation here. If there are 4D people, then there are probably some 5D people who can see the 4D people stark naked, and some 6D people who can see the 5D people stark naked, and so on. Mixing dimensions. The good news is that there is some fun to be had in mixing dimensions, in particular if you try and show the 3D world in 2D. In other words, pictures of solid objects can be a bit strange. Look at these objects carefully. At first glance, there seems to be nothing wrong with them, and no reason why they couldn't exist in 3D. But when you study them closely... One of the most famous people to use these sorts of illusions was the artist M.C. Escher. And here's a picture of his famous staircase. How would you like to rack up it? Murderous measurements. You would think measuring things was pretty simple, but a lot of the time it isn't. The problems you face depend on whether you're measuring lines, areas, or volumes, but happily there are a few cheaty ways to do it.